Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All By The Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today we have a special guest, my roommate, Casey.
Hello.
Casey is back with us. Casey's been on quite a few episodes of ours.
Oh, yeah.
Heartstopper, Our Flag Means Death, Sense 8,
Spider-Man. Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Red, White, and Royal Blue. Casey's going to be on a lot more book-related ones that we plan to kind of record in the future with our little book club that we have.
Hell yeah.
So look forward to that this year.
I got lots of opinions.
That's what we love.
About a lot of things.
About everything.
So definitely look forward to having more episodes with them on there. But today, we're talking about Saltburn, the new Emerald Fennell movie.
Yeah,
there we go.
The sophomore Worms. Emerald Fennell flick.
Yes,
I never saw Promising Young Woman, but I know that I would love it.
You would definitely love that.
I know I would.
Oh yeah. Sure, yeah, yeah. It is.
I live for women's wrongs.
Uh huh.
So hard, so hard. So yeah, but I loved this movie. I loved Saltburn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a ride. Fun. It's a ride. It's a fun movie. I enjoyed watching it. That is for sure.
I wanted it to be a little bit more batshit. Like, I was expecting it to be...
Uh-huh.
Like, there were definitely some scenes where I was like, okay. I was grossed out. I was definitely grossed out. But I wasn't like... I don't know. I wanted these crazy rich people to, like, be crazier. I don't know.
It was definitely more... I wanted it to be more Eyes Wide Shut. About everything, which gets quite insane. And I can feel that Emerald, the influences from many movies went into making this. And I think that's probably why I enjoyed it a lot. Like, pretty much every moment of it was just watching this weird little guy do things with this hot other guy. And I love it. Like, I mean, there's nothing to complain about that.
Weird little Irish guy. Yes. I loved I want to know, what did you two think this movie was about? Like, under the surface of wealthy guy murders rich wealthy family, steals their stuff.
So I completely had a different thought of what this movie. First of all,
okay.
I thought Jacob Elordi was still going to be American. I didn't know that he was going to have a British accent.
Are you serious?
I thought, okay, this is what I thought this movie was about, and it was completely and utterly wrong. So, and I thought the roles were reversed. I thought Barry Keoghan was the rich one, and Jacob Elordi was like just the naive American coming to the UK and befriending Barry Keoghan. And then going to see Barry Keoghan's family. And they're the crazy ones.
Did you watch the trailer at any point?
I don't really watch trailers anymore. If I do, it's like a couple of seconds of it, maybe. But I really don't watch trailers anymore. I really don't.
Okay.
So I probably did not see this trailer, honestly. So that's what I thought this movie was going to be about.
Nope.
Yeah, I think... I thought it was this. I did see the trailer, and I thought it was going to be a little bit more in the realm of a thriller that had a not just suspenseful element or murderous element, but also a like supernatural element. And I think that the filming was akin to that. Like, the cinematography was so fun and so like. Vibrant and scary and off-putting and Yeah. So that was definitely like kind of why I thought it was going to be a little bit more, you know, the way Midsommar is, where you kind of feel like there's this kind of supernatural element underlying this kind of cult situation. I thought that it was going to be similar to that in its kind of terrorization. But I'm not upset that it wasn't. It just was a little bit less of that than I anticipated.
Okay. See, I remember seeing the trailer for it in one of the movies we went and saw, Emily, in the theater, but I don't remember what movie it showed before. And I immediately was like, oh yeah, that looks interesting. But I didn't really get like the taste for it until I started seeing people's reactions to it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Of being just like scarred and shocked from some of the things that happened. And then immediately I was like, oh, this is like fanfic come to life. I absolutely am going to watch this and enjoy every second of it. And then it was like more than that. But I also want to say, some people are very tame on the internet. And I really didn't think any of the shocking scenes were all that shocking. But I am a degenerate who lived on the internet.
Yeah. So we do read a lot of... just me. Yeah. I didn't think it was particularly shocking. It's just kind of... like, especially, obviously, we're talking about one of the major scenes, which is the bathtub scene, where he kind of slurps up the bathwater. That
bathtub, the period scene, the grave scene. Yeah.
It's fun. Like, it's creepy. But it's also kind of like kinky. So that element was, it had a line, and I think the main character just kind of teetered in this line that we didn't expect him to, where he's a little bit kinky and he's a lot of bit kinky. And then you're like, oh, this guy is actually a murderous sociopath. And that's kind of the reason why I think it didn't really have to me the mystery of something like when it was finally revealed that he had been lying the whole time, I kind of expected that. So to me, the unveiling of who he wasn't as shocking as, you know, because we barely knew him anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So all those, the scenes with the bathwater and the period for like those two specifically, I'm of the belief that like Barry Keoghan's character, Oliver, knew what he was doing the entire time. But those sort of things, like where he's like consuming things from his victims, like it was very ritualistic, like there had a deeper meaning to it because he needed to absorb them to get the power to kill them potentially and like gain their wealth. Like that I think is like the a big part of it. And great. So like if we look through it through like a lens of like essentially like mysticism, it feels very witch-like, which I fucking loved. And then with the whole, like, the cinematography, absolutely beautiful. But I also think, like, the setting itself was very purposeful because there was so much art, there was so much history, there's so much, like, just wealth that you can never just come by. Like, you don't build yourself up to that wealth. That is generational.
Yeah.
And so he needed to, like, consume parts of these people that he was going to kill so he could actually take over their lives, essentially. That's my take on it. I've also seen other people talk about like how it's very allegorical for like the myth of the Minotaur as well.
At the center of the maze.
And then somebody else said like in the scene where Oliver is talking to Rosamund Pike's character, kind of like in the field, there's a statue behind them, and it looks like the scene at the end with Oliver pulling out like the breathing tube.
Yeah.
And I never got like a good photo of it to like really see it, but have you seen that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's like the, it's like almost like Cain killing Abel or something like that. I feel like that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
With a rock, you know, really brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great interpretation. I love the witchy aspect for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I I'm very much, like I said, I love women's wrongs, but I also kind of just like the one-upping of everything in this movie. Like, nothing Oliver could have ever done was, he was never going to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just kept doing, like, the most outrageous things. Like in the scene where they're eating, like, the shepherd's pie after Jacob Elordi's character dies.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're just going to be normal. Like, you have to eat it. And he's like, it's delicious. Whatever. Like, how outrageous do you have to be that, like, the person that you love just, you murdered him and you're just eating shepherd's pie. Like, outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I lived for it.
Emily,
I was having a good time listening to both you guys talk about this movie.
Yeah,
because I just thought it was fine.
Yeah, no,
I don't really have any thoughts about it.
No, I have a balance of it as well.
Yeah. I didn't know about the Minotaur. The only article I read was because I follow on Instagram, I think it's called like History of Cinema or something, or Cinema. I follow a couple cinema accounts, and one of them posted pictures of, you know, behind the scenes stuff of Saltburn, and then they brought up Talented Mr. Ripley, and that's another movie that this movie kind of got inspired from, which has, I think it has Matt Damon in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't watched that, but I always wanted to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm interested in watching it now, because it sounds like Talented Mr. Ripley is really good and kind of has like that similar kind of like murderous plot point, sociopath type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sounds really interesting. I mean, the biggest draw to me to this movie was Barry Keoghan. I do love Barry Keoghan. He's a real weirdo, and I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's like
and
so handsome.
Rosamund
in
Pike
his own
was
way.
Really good.
I know, she's so beautiful. Oh my god, I love her.
Really, really liked Rosamund Pike's character. She just was. I liked the article that I read because it kind of compared these characters to like the characters that we meet in Knives Out.
Yeah,
they're just kind of rich people being rich, and they're just kind of naive and just kind of weird and kind of out of it.
Yep.
In a lot of ways.
Richard E. Grant
to,
especially.
A lot of normal people.
So out of the way. Such a weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really did like the butting of heads that Oliver had with
Farley.
What's his name? Farley. Yeah.
Mm.
I really did like their, I was waiting for there to be a scene between Barry Keoghan and Jacob Elordi, and that never happened. I definitely thought something was like they make out or something, or but no. So I was very surprised that that didn't even happen, since he seemed to be hooking up with everyone else in the house.
I just had a thought too, because like you said, like Oliver and Farley were butting heads, and I think it might be because Farley doesn't actually fit in with the family. There's only room for one person on the outskirts, and it was going to be Farley, so Oliver needed to get rid of Farley. But because Farley was not part of the family, he didn't have to consume anything from Farley. He just needed to get him out of the way.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
And also the character played by Carey Mulligan as well, like, she was the sad case that Rosamund Pike's character, like Elsbeth, wanted to kind of be like,
Elsbeth.
Oh, this is my sad friend. She's so sad. And then once Barry gets there, Oliver gets there, she's like, oh, okay, well, he's the new sad sack, so we don't need the other one anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the characters, these people, especially Jacob Elordi, like just this family collects sad people, like people who need their help.
They're just entertainment to them.
Yeah.
They're just people, essentially.
And a power play.
People to consume.
You and consuming.
Yeah.
What are they consuming?
They're like as entertainment.
Okay. Yeah. Pastimes, you know, alcohol, just anything they want because they're super rich and nothing can touch them. They don't have like any consequences, and the things they say are so incredibly out of touch, and it's very obvious what they're saying and doing is extremely out of touch. And I honestly expected Jacob Elordi's character to be even more out of touch. To me, he was just a rich jock, and in a way.
Who seemed like he was, who was a little oblivious to things, but he seemed the most normal.
Yeah. And of course there was that aspect of the fact that Oliver got with his sister and he was like, well, he's my plaything. I can't, you know, I can't share him with anybody else. And there was that whole, like, you could see he was jealous, but it was also maybe like, maybe he's jealous because he also loves, like, he's in love with him too, in a way. And you really don't know. And there's that line, it's kind of like uncomfortable. You're like, is this something that, are they really going to consummate this or are they not? And they didn't, but it could have, because there's so many shots of them, like, super close, really, like, intimate, very homoerotic. Like, this movie just, that's another, like, reason why it's fun. It's just because there's this, like, incredible gayness about this movie that's just so enjoyable to watch. And you're just like, please go, like, please do it, you know? And it doesn't happen, but it's great.
What do you all think was the more cringy part of the movie? The part with the eggs, with him sending the eggs back, or when they show up to his parents' house?
The egg is not so bad. I think
people are riding over the egg part online.
I mean, he did say over easy, and he got over easy. So I was a little bit confused why he was like,
he's like, I can't eat runny eggs. Then why did you
say over easy? Like, why did you say that?
It wasn't cringy. It was just more like annoying. Awkward. That he did that. Because it was like, you know what you ordered. And then when you got what you ordered, you said you couldn't eat that. So that was mostly annoying. Like, I didn't like that part. Cringy to me, I was gagging at the period scene. Like, that was really? Like, I didn't want to see any of that.
Emily was like crawling into the back of the couch.
I was like, oh god. It was not. It didn't make me feel comfy.
And I had a glorious huge smile on my face. I'm like, yes, this is the content I crave.
I didn't love when he had sex with the grave, but I thought it was a really well-done performance. And I saw that that was kind of improvised by Barry. But of course, it makes sense. So, like, I think it was just kind of like, oh my god, he's so obsessed with Felix. He's so obsessed with him. Like, we even had that kind of beginning, like, the very beginning of the movie is just showing Felix in all of his glory and just, like, his hotness. You know, watching him have sex, watching him do everything. And you understand very quickly how obsessed Oliver is with him. So I think that, like, cringy was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is the natural progression. He's going to have sex with his grave because he was obsessed with him.
Okay. I know a cringy scene that, like, it was like secondhand awkwardness that I was feeling. It was when Felix had taken him to see his parents and he basically knew that he was a liar. So, like, they were kind of estranged at that point. And then when Felix is dead and Barry Keoghan is like, or Oliver's like clinging to Elsbeth.
Yeah.
Basically to stay there. And Richard E. Grant's character is like, you should probably go.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't leave Elsbeth when she's like this. And I was like, ooh, like I was, oh yeah. God, I was so uncomfy. I was like, oh, please leave. Like it was, ooh, he was like freaking me out at that point. I was like, oh God, you need to leave.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
that was the scene that really, it gave me shivers. I was like, oh God.
He gave him so much money that he could like survive until, you know, today, like till 2020 or 2021. And like, that's when he could go back and, you know, find his way back into getting with Elsbeth in the end. So it was just like the longest long game, you know?
Yeah. He still had plans in place, which is fucking wild that he just didn't give up, that he wasn't happy with that. Like he hungers for the castle.
He wants to consume
the castle.
I mean, that's what Farley said too. Yeah.
Yeah. The music in this movie slapped.
Yeah.
So good.
It's great. I love that song. That Murder on the Dance Floor song. And also the, is it 2006? Like all the 2006 songs. I mean, it's like, it's a great time to have a movie. There's some really good nostalgia in here that we listen to all this stuff, and it's just like, oh, I love this song. I love this song. You know, Mr. Brightside was in it. That cost like the most to get the rights for, and it was only in it for like 10 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Brightside?
Yes, because it's like really expensive. I mean, think about that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it definitely like added the elegance, but also the reality to the movie. Like, they were reading Harry Potter and the seventh Harry Potter, which is the version that I have. Like, I literally brought it back with me from London when I went in like 2007. I was like, I have to get this version. And it's the one that I took out of my storage unit last week from my parents' storage unit to like bring here to, and like, I was watching the movie and it's like on my shelf. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just got that back. It was wild. I love it.
Does it look really different from like the American versions?
It has a different art. It's just different art on the front of it. And you know, it's slightly different in the inside. Oh, you have that one too?
I can show it to you on the book. Yeah, I do. Yes. I got it when I was in high school and I still have it. I can show it to you.
Okay.
The art styles, I like it a lot more than the American versions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else? They're hot. They're hot and beautiful.
They're so hot.
Let's
Everybody's
talk
so
about
hot.
It.
Jacob Elordi, I'm traumatized by Jacob Elordi. That
yeah.
I'm mentally having a really hard time, like, wanting to see him in other things just because of how much he's traumatized me from Euphoria.
Yep.
Like, I really want to see Priscilla, but I also don't want to see it because he's in it, and I just feel like I'm going to not like his character, and I'm just not going to like the movie because he's in it.
Well,
and
you're not supposed to like him in Priscilla.
True.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's kind
true.
Of, like, he was a completely fine character in this, but I just, I don't know, Jacob Elordi, like, I wasn't paying much attention to Jacob Elordi, and you're not really supposed to. It's, like, mostly about Barry Keoghan, but it's, like, I don't know. Jacob Elordi was in it, and I was like, eh. I'll watch it for Barry Keoghan, but, like, I don't, like, care about Jacob Elordi.
He's a very attractive person. So, like, it is, he's got that magneticism to him that's getting him roles that are perfect for the type of person that he portrays, right? Rich, a little bit out of touch, a little bit mean. It's got that. And I think this character, honestly, was rather sweet in a lot of ways. Not exactly the kind of villain that I thought he was going to become. To me, it was, he actually had this kind of softness to him that I enjoyed watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently
he's super tall.
He looks like it. Because, I mean, Barry,
he's like 6'6".
Yeah, he's like gargantuan, apparently.
Let's see, like, Barry is not, like, extremely short. Like, he is, let's see.
No, but he looks minuscule next to him in all the interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in all the interviews, they are so close to each other, and they are just staring lovingly into each other's eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, boys, just kiss.
Just kiss. That's what I was saying.
The fact that I didn't get a kiss in this movie, I feel a little jilted.
But it was just one with blood on it.
Not the one you wanted. It wasn't the kiss that you wanted. He kissed, you know, he took over the sister. He took over Farley, like, but he couldn't get Felix. And it's like, you know, it is a little bit like he's reaching, he's obsessing. He cannot, you know, get to him. There was a time, there was a moment in this movie that I was convinced everybody, like, that this movie was going to become not him killing everyone, but him having sex with everybody.
That's where I was thinking he was going to go. Like, I was like, everyone, Roseman.
Yeah, the dad.
Richard
like,
Grant.
Everybody.
So, like, there's going to be an orgy in this movie.
Yeah.
And I wish there was.
I wish there was too.
So, there's this movie that is called Teorema, that's what it's called, from 1968. It's this Pasolini movie that I watched in college, and it's like this Italian film with this really hot family full of kids and adults, right, parents, and this new guy comes in, and he's played by Terrence Stamp, and he systematically has sex with every character in the movie. And then he like leaves and they're all like distraught. Like, and this
really,
I can tell you that this is definitely one of the influences of this movie, because it is like so, you know, they're really rich. They have like a lavish lifestyle. And this guy just comes in and just like destroys everything, you know, by having sex with
Let's
everybody.
Let's watch it.
Yeah, it's
the other one.
The other movie that's based off of, or you're going to look up Teorema.
Yeah.
Spell it.
Teorema.
Okay.
Another movie, again, I think that there's a lot of influences here. Like I said, Eyes Wide Shut, you saw Talented Mr. Ripley, Teorema. I think it also had a lot of vibes of Call Me By Your Name, because I heard that Timothy Chalamet was kind of eyed to be Barry Keoghan's role in this. It would have been such a different kind of movie, I think. But
yeah,
it would have worked in a different way. And to me, it just had that kind of lackadaisy, lavish summer feeling, which is what, you know, Call Me By Your Name has. And also the obsession that Elio has with Oliver is, you know, seen as like obviously like a kind of teen obsession, first love situation in that movie, where this movie tried to kind of take that and turn it and twist it into like the evil version, like the version where you're so obsessed and you want to take over and kill someone because you can't have them.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Great job, Emerald Fennell. Fun.
Yeah. We should definitely watch Promising Young Woman.
Yeah.
That movie.
I can't watch that movie again.
I really like that one.
It's so...
You can't watch it again?
That movie is so it's so uncomfortable for me in a good way, but I just can't watch it again.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say something else. What was it? Oh, I didn't like. This is my critique of this movie. Towards the end, they had a whole kind of exposé of like the things that he actually was behind. Like, he planned it all. Let's just see him go through. It's kind of like the Knives Out aspect of it, where it's like
this is how I did it.
Yeah, like oh, he actually
his fingers. Monologue.
Yes.
He actually had money. He actually was there all along. And it's like, we know. We watched this whole movie with you. We know he's planned this. Like, it's not like he didn't plan it. We know. Like, you didn't need to show us. That's my one aspect that I didn't really like.
Yeah. Or by the end, you assume. Like, you can kind of repaint the picture yourself. It didn't need to be painting the picture for you. I mean, I always appreciate it, because I definitely wasn't thinking ahead while watching this. Like, I was like, I was taking it in scene by scene, and I was like, okay. and then I was like, okay. I was just taking it in as it was feeding the story to me. So like, I appreciate stuff like that, because I have to be in the right mental capacity to really think ahead. But but I also think it can kind of cheapen it a little.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know.
I was okay with it.
Ultimately, I was okay with it too.
It didn't add or take away anything. I was just wondering the entire time, like, is Elizabeth even cognizant? Like, is she in there? What's going on? What happened to her? What did he do to her? So...
Yeah, he's also like kind of explaining to her, and you're like, where are we in time here? Is he talking to like a cop? Is he talking to someone else? How old is he? Why does he look so different? So there's that mystery throughout.
There was a part of the movie that I felt like was a dream sequence almost in a way. Do you know what scene I'm talking about? It was like after his birthday party or something. No, maybe it was. I just felt like it wasn't filmed in any weird way, but like the things that were happening in the scene felt like they weren't actually happening. I'm trying to remember what it was. I can't recall it.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt kind of...
Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie.
Yeah, maybe you are.
Wait. It might be a different movie. Never mind. Continue.
This was also produced by Margot Robbie. Yeah. She's friends, obviously, with Emerald, who was in Barbie as well. Also produced by Margot.
Casey just pointed to the new Mean Girls movie.
I'm so excited for the new Mean Girls
movie. It's a musical.
Yep. That's why I'm excited.
It's going to be very fun.
And also, I have a crush on Renee Rapp, so.
As you should.
Yeah. She just did a music video with Megan Thee Stallion for the song that they made for the movie, and my God. Those two have been blessed. Bisexuals rise up. But anyway. Sorry, had to be gay on main for a moment. Yeah.
You're good. I'm excited to see that one, too. Anything else to say about this movie?
I enjoyed it. I think... I'm excited to see anything else Emerald Fennell comes out with. She did win the Best Screenplay Oscar for Promising Young Woman. I don't know if this movie will get nominated for... that again, but it might, and it might get nominated for like cinematography, costumes, music. That I mean, oh, Emily, can you think of anything else?
We're looking at a Emerald Fennell's what's it called?
IMDb
for filmography.
Yes, I watched The Crown. She's in that. Called the Midwife, one of my favorite shows. She's also in that.
Yeah, we saw that she was a writer for Killing Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love Killing Eve.
Yeah, so.
I haven't seen that. I've heard it's really good, though.
Wait, go down. Go up again. Stop. Never mind. Okay.
Oh.
She's writing
She did something for Bad Cinderella, and I'm like, oh, never mind. Don't like that.
She's writing a movie.
Music video writer.
I believe it's a remake, and it's called Zatanna. Emerald is writing a movie, and it's called Zatanna.
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what is going on in this. It was...
Ooh.
No idea.
My gosh.
Magical powers.
It's a comic book.
Oh. Okay. Oh, wait.
That looks familiar.
Sounds familiar.
Hmm.
Zatanna.
Googling.
Zatanna Zatara. Yeah, I inadvertently dressed as this person for Halloween once.
What?
Great.
It's a DC character.
Okay, she's like a magician?
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like a magician superhero.
That's insane.
Who needs pants?
That's fun.
Yeah, she's got fishnets. And a leotard.
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
covered. Mm-hmm. She's good.
She just got no chafing there. Fun legs. With some fun fishnets. Legs on her? Yeah, she got fun legs.
Yeah, her legs are fun. All right. Shall I look at these plot keywords? Did we ever take a break?
No, well, let's take one now.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, we are back.
All right, let's take a look at these plot keywords. Okay. The plot keywords we've got, key phrases, basically, not keywords.
Oh my God.
We've got a drinking someone's bathwater, drug use, male full frontal nudity, male masturbation, and a college student. What other movies have drinking someone's bathwater? I'm very curious.
I know.
It's just Saltburn.
It's just.
Look at you.
Just
you
Saltburn.
You single-handedly started a plot key phrase.
Love that. Good job, God.
I'm actually shocked. That is crazy.
See, but that's not even rare. You can buy that on eBay at any time. Or
someone's bathwater?
Yes, dude, this is a legit thing for a lot of sex workers.
Okay.
They will can their bathwater and sell it online.
Yeah.
Maybe not eBay, but
you know what it was?
There's lots of websites for
Facebook Marketplace.
You know what it was that got me? Was not the fact that he was drinking the bathwater, because to me that was fine. It didn't really gross me out. It was the fact that he was like guzzling the like hole to like, you know,
drain.
The actual like. He was, like, basically licking the drain, which is just a really gross place. Like, I didn't really... If you just, like, sucked it out of the side, like, I wouldn't... You know, if it was, like, a regular... To me, the drain hole is just such a gross, bacteria-ridden spot. It's like... It's a drain hole. Like, it's... Ugh, like, you know, cockroaches can come up that. You know, it's like, I don't want to suck that. It's just... It's, you know what I mean? Like, that's really what...
Yeah.
That's really what got me.
Those two scenes really grossed me out a little bit, because it was like you're ingesting something that
The water itself is fine. It's fine, but it like I'm saying, but of course it's supposed to kind of mimic, you know, the asshole. It's supposed to be like I get it, but it's still disgusting. Like when it's the actual drain, you know, like the drain hole.
People eat ass. And you know, people.
But what Alexander's trying to say is that an asshole is cleaner than a shower.
Yes,
drain.
Yes,
it can be.
That is what I'm trying to say. Can be. That does not. Yeah. That I don't
but
care.
But from like, straight men, probably not.
No. Not in that instance.
Not to use stereotypes on the podcast, but
if the situation is, it should be cleaner than a drain.
It totally should.
Yes, like, all your body's filth goes into that. Like, it is not even just that. It's like I said, like cockroaches can come up that. Like, it's like, ugh. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm moving on to the critic reviews. I'm moving on. Okay. This movie got a 61 Metascore, which got 29 positive, 22 mixed, and 2 negative reviews. We have a few 100s here. We have 3.
Ooh.
That's really good.
The lowest one is a 25. You know, it is rare that some movies get a 100 and then the lowest is a 25. That is the most, I mean, what an expansive dichotomy.
A lot of 50s, dude. A lot of 50s.
So, okay. Emily, would you like to read the low one?
Excuse you, San Francisco Chronicle.
All right. I love reading the negatives because I'm a negative person, so I like to read the negatives. So San Francisco Chronicle gave it a 25. Saltburn is a remarkable combination of smart and stupid. Its problem is that it's superficially smart and deeply stupid. It's clever and amusing in 20 different ways, and when it really matters, it descends into ridiculousness.
Oh,
yeah, and what of it?
Yeah. I mean,
see, I wanted a bit more ridiculousness. I didn't want gross, I'm gagging, like, scenes, which those were fine. Like, it's like I understand why they were there and they were purposeful, but it's just like, I don't know, I wanted something real batshit to happen.
Yeah.
I was just a little underwhelmed.
What would have been enough batshit for you though? Use your imagination.
Oh god.
The movie Ready or Not kind of does this well as well. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It is
I've
the
seen
main
it.
Character is getting Ooh. Married. And she has to like
I thought of something.
Fight off this murderous family that has a ritual where they have to kill them. Are you listening to me?
Ooh, yeah, like a ritual. Yeah, that'd be good.
That's like Ready or Not.
Into, like that witchy aspect of it. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
A scary witch ritual.
And if they don't murder someone on this night or like on their wedding night, if they don't kill them, they basically all die. So that movie is really like it is fun. It is really, really crazy. Like, I definitely think we should watch it.
Oh, this is a movie? What movie is that?
Yeah, it's called Ready or Not.
With Samara Weaving.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I wanted to watch that one. That one looked fun.
It is
I've already seen it. I don't want to watch it again. There's some body horror aspects of it that I did not enjoy.
It's pretty horrifying. I want to read this 50 from Washington Post. It says, if Fennell doesn't quite stick the landing, if her story of striving, sexual obsession, class resentment, and revenge ultimately feels puny and predictable, she certainly has fun getting there.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
What was the idea that you had, Emily?
So, I wanted Oliver and Felix to get together. Maybe Felix's murder happens, like, while they're having sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, like, in the most amazingly gruesome way.
I mean, 100%. I was kind of expecting that when...
Like, I wanted to see the murders. I wanted to see them.
Yeah. I was expecting that when he snuck into Farley's bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that scene with Farley.
I did too.
It was very good.
Like, are
it
you going to be good?
So uncomfortable.
No.
I very much enjoyed that.
That was so funny.
It was hilarious.
It was so good.
And then with them at karaoke.
Oh.
Yeah, it was so good too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Farley was great. The guy that plays him is so funny.
Yeah. He was really good. I liked him a lot.
Read the Washington Post.
Okay. Any other ones, Alessandra?
Casey can pick one if they want.
Okay.
Did you want
to? Yeah, go down to Consequence.
Oh.
Oh, where my brother works.
Yep, exactly. Rated at a 58.
It's ooh, a new person.
Yeah, normally Clint.
Who's Clint?
We've seen him before, but Liz usually does a lot of the movies that we talk about, but we haven't seen him before.
Gotcha. So they say, it's steamy and transgressive in a straightforward way, an in-your-face bacchanal of sex and violence of the kind Fennell so delights in depicting. But as the film barrels towards its bonkers but highly predictable twist, the shine on Saltburn begins to fade.
That is exactly how I feel.
But I had fun with it.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
fun.
I feel like all these reviews are so subjective. Like, I could read that and still be like, yeah, it's a 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, we do the same thing.
Yeah. We often agree. I mean, we don't usually agree totally with the, like, bottomist ones, but we usually agree with, like, the middle grounds that have some kind of, you know, pretty good critique. It depends.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, the very bottom reviews and the very top reviews are never very, like, substantial. They're like, that was bad. Or like, that was a very enjoyable movie for 2023. Or like, or 2024. It was like, cool, great. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about it? No.
Nope.
You're giving us nothing.
Nope.
So it's like, definitely the middle ground, like where people actually took the time to pick the number they wanted to give to give the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They put a bit more time into their blurbs.
Yeah. Yeah, like 58. That's such a subjective number. But okay.
All right, let's go look at these 100.
Yes.
Okay, it's still going. Okay, here we go. So we've got The Observer, The Telegraph, or Entertainment Weekly. I'm going to do The Observer. Gorgeously photographed by Linus Sandgren. That's a name. Sandgren. It's both beautifully directed and cleverly written by British Oscar winner Emerald Fennell, who follows her highly regarded promising young woman with a film of even more staggering impact. I wouldn't say more.
Mm.
I feel like Promising Woman had a pretty staggering impact on me.
Yeah, fuck the men that fuck with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked this one
I'll
better.
I'll never get tired of that.
I liked this one better because I felt it was just more fun. Like, Promising Young Woman
true. Promising Young Woman is a lot darker.
It is a lot
it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one was a bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, this movie ended with Barry Keoghan dancing alone in a castle naked at the end.
Yeah. Like,
it sure did.
I mean, that's exactly what I want to see. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I did enjoy that. So
I did too.
It was very funny.
It's great. It's so fun. And it's just like, I don't know why we don't have more naked people in movies. So I really enjoy when there's a naked man and just dancing around on my screen. Of course.
It's because, did you know that there's an argument being made right now for like there not to be like having any sort of sex scenes in shows and movies right now in the US? Like that is a conversation that is happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of actors are kind of resisting it.
Yeah, correct. That man may have died for your sins, but he did not die for you to be for the right to be naked on screen. Apparently.
Like I said, a lot of actors are feeling and kind of using their powers, obviously, as performers to decide not to do sex scenes in any way.
Yeah.
And it's totally within their right to do that. So it totally makes 100%. Sense. And I think it's part of that conversation as well.
That's true. I'm talking more on the lines of viewers thinking that we need to make that go away.
Yeah, just further censoring stuff, whether it's what the actual all of the populace wants. I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming you were saying.
Yeah.
Just further censoring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. All about that censorship.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that all we have to say about Sulper?
Yeah.
This poster's kind of trippy. I'm, like, looking at it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
It's fun.
It's a little, like, disorienting. All right, well, that was... I wanted to see what the tagline was for this. I feel like it's different. We're all about to lose our minds. That's what the poster says. But the tagline...
There's another one that says, don't get lost. That's another one as well.
Oh, I'm seeing a beautifully wicked tale of privilege and desire.
Okay. Yeah, the don't get lost one.
Oh,
was
there any fun trivia?
Oh.
We didn't even look at trivia.
The Minotaur statue was designed using Barry Keegan's body as a reference. Wow.
Nice.
Ooh, that's cool.
And Rosamund Pike lived in the Sulphur House while filming.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
It's a private residence, this house. Like, it's not even like a... I think it's not even like a... it's not open to public like it is at Chatsworth House or something.
So it's an actual place that people currently live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's see.
Oh my gosh. Jacob Elordi is the reason why Barry Keoghan got the role.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just like the fact that Barry was like, maybe I should have sex with a grave. Makes more sense.
He's like, let's try it. Let's see how it works.
I want to try something.
Can I get a clothes set for the afternoon? I just want to try something.
Yeah. No, it was a natural, like, he took off a shirt and I was like, oh, he's gonna have sex with this grave. Like,
see, I knew what was coming, and I was like both watching the screen and also watching Emily.
That scene didn't bother me as much.
Nothing could have bothered you more than the period scene.
That one really messed me up. I was like, I didn't want my eyeballs to see this today. And now they have. And there's no going back. Okay. Shot in 48 days. All right.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
That's pretty fast.
That's really fast.
That's crazy.
The guy who was the teacher at the beginning, that was kind of like the, I guess it was the professor or somebody who was meeting with Oliver and also Farley. He was like,
oh yeah,
a kind of admirer, obsessor of Farley's mother, who was part of this family as well. And it kind of mirrored the obsession.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot about that scene.
Yeah. Why was he getting tutored privately with Farley?
I think it's part
of... How do you make that happen?
I think it's just part of the... It's like an intimate session. Like, you do them to try to get your grades up. You have to read your essays in person, and they grade them, you know, in person. I think that's something that they do at Oxford. I'm not really sure.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or could it be... I mean, I don't know. Farley obviously wasn't a scholarship student, but Oliver was.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if that's something that, like...
But was he?
No. I think he just got in on his own merit.
We never learned, because we learned that he did have wealth. Like, his family's house was huge. And nice.
That's true. It was something one of the girls said. The girl said, like, oh, he's a scholarship student. I don't want to hang out with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think it's just because he was wearing
the whole time.
He was wearing, like, clothes from Oxfam and stuff like that. Like, that made the people act like he was lower class than them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his mother was played by an actress that was also in Called a Midwife. So I wonder if Emerald Fennell was like, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Let's get everyone in here.
Yeah. That's all I have to say. Sorry, we kept bringing things up. I just kept remembering things.
Yeah, that's very true. But I think that is all we have to say about Saltburn. If you enjoyed that episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll definitely hear more from Casey in the future. And
In the past, because I'm in past episodes.
And in the past. The past. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.